She lifted her head and looked around. The surrounding area was a flat desert, with no peaks or valleys, and no scrub that she could see through the heat haze. The entire area was flat and covered with sands. At some time, the area could have been arable, but the intense buffeting of the chemstorms had left the area a wasteland, all features of the land covered by layers of sand. That had to have been when it happened to the redoubt entrance. Once in a valley, the dip had been filled by the sand, and in opening the door, they had done nothing more than allow the sea of grains to shift once more. As Mildred tried to focus on the area where the redoubt entrance had been, and where the sands were already settling into their new pattern, she found darkness creeping into her vision. Alarmed, she fought it, looked for the others. Doc was down. Jack was trying to get to his feet, but stumbling and falling once more. She couldn't locate JB. He had to be behind her somewhere. She caught a flash of Christy's hair as the woman tried to stay awake, shaking her head before she slumped once more. Where was Ryan? He had to be behind her somewhere, too. The blackness closed in, blotting out all else. Ryan concentrated on staying awake. The howling wind swept through him, chilling him to the bone, and he felt the heavy splash of the rain on his back and sides, could feel the weak acid eating through his clothes. He burrowed deeper into the sand, feeling the exposed areas buffeted less and less, but always mindful of the new danger. If he should accidentally inhale the sand, clogging his nostrils and lungs with the sharp grains, then all this would be for nothing. He was still weak, and didn't know how much he could fight against that implacable enemy. The sand around him was still, protected him from the worst of the storm, but it held its own dangers. It was important he stay triple red, yet everything in him wanted to curl up and go to sleep. If he did, he would close his eye forever. There was no way of telling how long it lasted. It was all as one, the winds, the sand, the rain. But gradually, he became aware of a lessening. The sand stung his skin less often. He didn't dare relax, though. Even after he was sure, he waited a little longer. Gradually, Ryan disinterred himself from his sandy bed and rose unsteadily to his feet. The sky above was clear, the stars twinkling peacefully above, as though the maelstrom never happened. It was over. Mildred felt desiccated, drawn out and left too long to dry. The heat was still burning, but nowhere near as intense as it had been before. She opened her eyes and immediately screwed them tight again. She had been lying on her back, and the light was too bright. She rolled over. After adjusting, she tentatively raised herself onto all fours. Once she felt steady, she groped for some of the bottled water they had rescued from the redoubt and distributed among themselves. It was tepid and unpleasant, but it was liquid, and it helped. She was slick with sweat, yet the military OD green jacket she wore had covered her skin and saved her from too much direct exposure to the sun. But what of the others? Mildred raised herself to her feet and looked around. Jack was sitting up, drinking. Like her, he looked as though he had only just regained consciousness. He managed a weak grin. Ryan and Christy seemed to be coming around, and JB appeared by her side as though from nowhere.
Doc's not so good.
Doc had less covering than the rest of them, and so had suffered most from being unconscious under the harsh sun. Mildred settled herself beside him. His skin was burned and flaky, and there was froth flecked at the corners of his mouth. While JB lifted his head, she used some of the water to wet his lips and gums, then pried away the dry skin of his mouth, where it stuck to his teeth and gums. He reacted to this, and she risked pouring a little of the liquid into his mouth. He choked at first, but soon began to swallow. While JB continued to feed Doc the water, Mildred fumbled in her jacket pockets for salt tablets. She'd been able to replenish her supply from the redoubt infirmary. By the time Doc had recovered enough to realize where he was, Christy, Ryan, and Jack had joined Mildred and JB, clustered around the old man.
Always a liability, I fear. And if I were a horse, then the knacker would be a necessity. And if I were a carpenter...
Shut up, you old fool. You're in no fit state to be talking sense, let alone the drivel you always come up with. You need to drink some more for a start.
Doc nodded in agreement and took a water bottle from her. Ryan had been surveying the area while they stood over Doc, and he didn't like what he saw. Spanning out in every direction was nothing but sand. It was an entirely flat landscape, only the occasional undulation of a dune to break the monotony. The sand covered everything so completely that even now he couldn't be too sure where the redoubt entrance had been situated.
Doesn't look so good, does it? Nothing but this fire-blasted desert and no way of getting back to make another jump. Which direction gives us the best chance?
Your guess is as good as mine. Just looks like sand as far as you can see. Figure the best thing to do is form into pairs and fan out. Hard to tell with this cloud, but I reckon we got a couple of hours before sundown.
Only plan that makes sense. But one of us should go solo. I can't see Doc being up to it. Maybe a good thing. Doc can be our anchor. Gives us somewhere to head back to.
My dear boy, you are too kind. Making an asset from my infirmity. But I suppose, if it is all I can do, it is at least something.
The five travelers used their baggage to form a sunbreak around Doc, offering him at least some shade from the sun. That angle also gave them some kind of compass point from which to try to determine their location. But their first task was to see if they could find shelter before the night fell. Ryan trekked alone, while Jack accompanied Christy and JB marched with Mildred. The plan was simple. Taking a different position, they were each to fan out from the point of their location to see if they could sight anything other than sand on the horizon. Simple, and also depressing, for it soon became apparent that they could march for hours and see nothing but sand stretching out before them, rolling in dunes and broken only by the occasional patch of grass or scrub. As they marched outward, so the sand pulled at their calves, each step an effort to drag their boots from the grip of the sand, sapping what little reserves of energy they had. It was nearing twilight when they converged once more on where Doc lay. The old man had used the time well, taking more water and resting, and was now almost back to normal. It was little consolation, however, when they compared their lack of sightings.
It would appear that we are caught between a rock and a hard place. Except there are no rocks, and the sand is far too soft.
Wish I could see the funny side, Doc. We've got little option other than to pick a direction at random and keep marching. Or try to find the redoubt and force our way on for another jump. And that's always assuming we could dig our way in.
So we just keep marching then. Pick a direction. Any direction.
How about that away? Or maybe not. Because I think that's where trouble's coming.
They knew JB was right. A mistral wind was reaching them. Tendrils of sand picked up in the light breeze that was getting stronger with each passing minute. The chem clouds had gathered densely in the twilight, and the air became damp as chem rain started to drizzle.
Fire blast, try to get some cover. It's coming down too fast.
The first fat, heavy drops of rain began to splatter them, and the tendrils of sand became sharp bullwhips of grain lashing against them. Within minutes, as they tried to dig a trench into the sand, the storm had made it impossible to see. Ryan Carter raised himself slowly, painfully, from the tomb of sand he had made for himself. Every part of his body ached, and patches of his skin felt as though they would run off his flesh at the slightest touch. He was thankful that there had been no open wounds for the rain to run into, which would have been too painful to contemplate. He looked around, trying to locate the others, but there was no sign of them. And no sign of the storm, which had blown over as quickly as it had arrived. The sky above was clear, the crescent moon casting a pale light over the sands, which now seemed as calm as they had before the storm hit, as flat and undulating, and showed no relation to the whirling clouds of flame grit that had battered him just a short time before. They were also completely unrecognizable as the sands on which he had stood before the storm. Although there had been no real landmarks by which to judge, the shape of the dunes had become familiar. Now the landscape was unrecognizable. The sands whipped into new contours by the currents of the mistrals and gales of the chem storm. Ryan could be in the same place as before, or he could have been swept along in the tide of the sand, landing miles from where he began. He had no way of knowing.
Fire blast.
He was tired beyond belief, and his head felt as though it had been pounded on by hammers, a result of dehydration as much as the storm. The quiet of the night was eerie and unearthly. If he could get past the pounding in his skull, the sound of blood hammering in his ears, then there was nothing beyond. He couldn't remember the last time he'd heard such silence. It meant that the slightest sound would register, however, so Ryan's body tensed. And when he heard the whispering of shifting sands from somewhere over his left shoulder, he whirled around as quickly as his protesting muscles would allow. When the storm hit, Mildred's first thought was not for herself, but for Doc Tanner. She shared with Doc something that none of the others could ever truly understand. Neither of them belonged to this time. They had been thrown into the Deathlands, both taken from their own times in differing ways, and made exiles against their wills. It wasn't something they ever spoke of, but Mildred knew that if Doc should die, she would feel just that bit more alone, in a way that could not be truly explained. Doc had been raised up on one elbow when the storm hit, and before the first heavy drops of rain hit him, Mildred had thrown herself down to cover him.
Madam, contain yourself. I'm not that much of an invalid that I need to be treated this way.
Shut up and dig, you old fool, as deep as you can.
I fail to see that this will be of much practical use to us, but I suppose it is all we can do.
Save your breath.
JB stumbled on them by chance, blinded by the flying sand, trying to shield his face from the rain as it suddenly roared from the heavens. He turned and stumbled over the backpacks they had earlier set up to act as a sunbreak for Doc. JB fell into the hollow trench that Mildred and Doc were digging for themselves.
Lost the others. Dig, and use these to cover us.
He pulled one of his canvas bags over the top of them as they scrambled in the sand. It was hard to tell exactly what was happening in the narrow trench, but all three of them used their backs to try to reinforce a sand wall, giving themselves a small, clear area of breathing space in the middle. The bags were dragged over the top of them to form a makeshift canopy, not as stable as any of them would like, but temporarily effective. At least it prevented the sand overhead from burying them. It was stiflingly hot, and sand still moved around their bodies. No one would say, but it occurred to all of them that they could be sitting in their graves. As they seemed to fall deeper into the sand, it became difficult to tell when the storm subsided. Christy and Jack had stumbled blindly into each other as the storm began to hit, each searching for the other and the rest of their travelers. The storm had taken all of them unaware. Jack cursed himself for not noticing the changes in the air before the others. His senses had been dulled by the rigors of the jump. Christy clutched at Jack, pulling him to her as they stumbled and fell. Feeling the acid rain hit her skin, her hair coiled tightly to her neck and scalp as the danger increased. Christy shrugged out of her long fur coat and draped it over herself and Jack, hoping that the chemray would cease before it ate through the hide of the coat. They dug themselves into the sands, constantly fighting the shifts that threatened to overwhelm and bury them, rather than provide protection. The coat, just about covering the pair of them where it had been spread out, acted as a buffer between their prone bodies and the raging wind, sand, and rain above. It grew heavier as the shifting surface began to cover them, and their arms ached from trying to hold it up just enough to give them some kind of cover without it smothering them. When Ryan whirled and scanned the dunes behind him, the light was just good enough for him to be able to see any movement, the sand acting as a reflector to the crescent moon. About 150 yards away, there was a shifting on the surface, as though a bank of sand was rising up out of the mass. Ryan began to walk toward it, unable to move quickly thanks to the desert terrain. The sand wall dissolved in a cloud of scattering grains as two figures emerged from behind a blanket of fur, shaking off the sand that had sought to entomb them.
Christy! Jack!
Hey, Ryan. What the hell was that storm?
Strangest I've seen in a long time. Come and gone, just like that.
Just like us, almost. Gaia, you look like hell, lover.
Yeah, I feel like it, too. Just about managed to keep covered long enough to stop the worst, I guess. Lucky to make it out.
Yeah, maybe the only ones.
If we did it, Mildred and JB must have. Maybe they're with Doc.
Bastard thing of it is, where would they be?
You ended up there, and us here. Figure, same radius as the others. We should spread out, search.
They spread out and searched in an arc, moving in wider spirals from their beginning. In truth, no one knew exactly what they were looking for. The terrain of the desert had been altered, then smoothed by the storm. So unless their friends were attempting to dig out, assuming that they were alive, there was no way of knowing where they lay. The search was a struggle. Tired legs tried to deal with the sucking sands that made each step a chore. Eyes stung by wind, rain, and sand, aching from the same tiredness that beset their limbs, tried to focus on the flat landscape, searching for anything. It was Jack who stumbled on them. His left combat boot hit the harder surface of the backpacks that were being used as a roof for the trench. Expecting his foot to sink into the sand as before, he was surprised when his ankle buckled beneath him.
Van! Christy!
As they made their way over, battling the sapping desert floor to move as swiftly as possible, Jack began to dig. 18 inches of sand had gathered in some places, but only 6 or 7 in others, as the bags revealed themselves to have been steepled on either side of the trench. As Jack burrowed into the sand, clearing as much as possible on his own, he became aware of movement beneath. Relieved that whoever was under there was still alive, Jack redoubled his efforts, and he had made good headway by the time he was joined by Christy and Brian, who immediately fell to their knees and helped him to dig.
Think they're okay under there?
Maybe. Whoever it is, at least they're moving.
The makeshift roof was cleared, and the three travelers hurried to clear it away from the trench beneath.
Oh, thank Gaia.
The last piece was pulled up, revealing JB, Mildred, and Doc lying huddled together. Doc was unconscious, but still breathing. Mildred was struggling to stay awake, her breathing labored and her eyes flickering. JB was the most aware, and it was he who had been trying to move the roofing from beneath as he heard the others dig and felt the weight upon them decrease. Ryan held out an arm, which JB took, helping to haul himself out of the trench. He collapsed on the sand beside the one-eyed warrior. Jack plunged into the trench and lifted Mildred. As the fresher air of the desert night hit her, she began to stir, and Christy was able to help her out. Mildred fell to the sands as the armorer had, doubled over as she began to retch.
Yuck.
Doc was harder to lift out. He was dead weight, and his rescuers were already exhausted.